Give me that countryside.
New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay. I just adore a penthouse view. Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
The chores.
The stores.
Fresh air.
Times Square.
You are my wife.
By breaking news before we begin Free Farm Friday. This is just in from Disclosed.tv. Conservative Minister of Parliament, Sir David Amess, was attacked and stabbed multiple times at a church in Essex, UK. Sir David Amess is dead. He has died. A single man has been arrested. Please note, if you're an MP, that's about as high up as it gets in English government, because you can't become or run for the House of Lords. You can for the House of Commons. Stabbing a member of Parliament, MP, a member of the House of Commons, would be the equivalent of stabbing a member of the House of Representatives. I almost said senator, but senators kind of should be a cut above, even though Schumer has ruined that idea. So to repeat breaking news, conservative MP Sir David Amess has been stabbed and killed after attending. Oh, KV is telling me that he was a Catholic. And pro-life. So we've lost a good one there. Eternal rest grant unto him, O God, and let perpetual light shine upon him. May he rest in peace. Amen. This is really troubling me now because it sounds like this is probably a radical Muslim nutbag that took him out.
Just about to say, the mainstream media here is reporting that he was Muslim. So it's not guaranteed or so, but that's what the preliminary reports are.
This is, again, the evil is there in England. It's already there because they've imported it in. So Sir David Amess, rest in peace. We'll give you details as we get them. This is tragic. It seems to me, if you get cut down when you're leaving mass, it's a religious statement. That's terrorism. That's religious terrorism. All right. Brian Koch can't be with us today because, he's running the Koch Foods Company. Brian, we passed your warehouse yesterday in Virginia. We saw where the chickens are handled. It's a massive facility. It says Koch Food on the side. I told Mrs. Char, I said, Koch's been holding out on us. Look how big this place is. In any event, he's doing a call today and talking about water quality somewhere. So wish him luck on that. Mr. Dan Mundy, though, is here with us. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about here today, here on a Free Farm Friday, because just coming off the road, I didn't have a lot of farming prep time, but I'm sure Mr. Mundy will concoct something here for us. Mr. Mundy, how are you?
Oh, if you remember the 1942 Fred Astaire, Bing Crosby movie, Holiday Inn? You remember that?
No.
That's where the song White Christmas came from. You need to watch that one, Miniature. Well, you can't watch it anymore because it has a blackface scene in it. But there's another song in it where Bing Crosby decides to leave show business and go and be a farmer. And he's got a song saying, lazy, I'm just being lazy. And, of course, all the scenes are him working the farm, not being lazy. But that's how I'm feeling today, lazy.
No, I did not know that. I did know that White Christmas was from a movie. I just didn't know it was that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, I mean, there's a movie, White Christmas, which was made 12 years later. But the original song came in 1942 on holiday, and that's where you get Easter Bonnet and all those songs that Irving Berlin wrote at that time.
By the by, media in the UK is reporting that the man that killed and murdered MP Amos was a 25-year-old Muslim.
What a surprise.
So
he died on the scene.
And he died on the scene.
He didn't even get any kind of medical treatment.
So that's the latest on that. And again, that's an act of domestic terrorism. I wonder if the mayor, KVT, and Fiorella, I wonder if the mayor, Sadiq Saleen, what's his name? I wonder if the mayor will come out and denounce this act of Muslim orthodoxy. Because if you're an Orthodox Muslim, MP Amos was a mongrel to you. He's not even a human being. He's a dog. And that's true. That's not, that's a Muslim, and they love each other. It's a religion of peace. Bull Pence. In any event, that's the latest on that. So what's going on up at the Mundy farm?
Right now, just starting to bat down for winter and slaughtering chickens, man. I just got 85 more just came in, so I'm getting ready for turkey time, Editor. It's turkey time.
You know what we saw yesterday? Where did we see the wild turkeys at, Editor? Where were the wild turkeys at?
The Ridge Parkway.
Was that where we saw the wild?
Yes, they were on the side of the road.
That's right. We were at taking pictures because people like getting pictures at one of the overlooks. And as we pulled in and we're getting ready to get back in the car and pull off, come walking from below to the street level or to the Blue Ridge Parkway level, a pair of beautiful wild turkeys.
Well, you get them around me. They're up and down, but I mean, sometimes I'll have 6-8 of them flying across the road, and they're good flyers, the wild. You don't want to hit them because they're, you know, they can have a wingspan that's 4 to 6 feet, depending on the size of them. So you don't want to mess with them.
Oh, these things were huge. Oh, these are, yeah. No, I didn't want that I didn't want that thing to open its wings up so I could see how big its wingspan was.
They're not huge in terms of what, you know, Americans think of, oh, they've got big breasts and legs and all the stuff we want to eat. But as far as a large bird, they're a pretty large bird. Or they can be.
So we made it back here with the frozen fowl. It nearly thawed out twice, but we got it back on ice. And it has made it to the freezer. So we have a whole chicken and little quailies to enjoy from the Mundy farm. We got to spend time with Sister Maria Filomena and see her hog operation up close and personal. Now, this is something that I found. I was overjoyed at the sight. And I thought, wow, okay, that's how it's supposed to work. In one of the areas where Sister had 20 or so hogs penned up, that they completely ate all of the everything that was there except the trees. Tomatillos were growing wild. And I'm not talking little acorn size. I'm talking beef steak tomato size tomatillas. Cherry tomatoes were growing just organically. They were just growing. And Sister said, we certainly didn't plant them there. So that's as a result of the pigs just having been there and acting all pig-like and piggy and stuff.
Well, you know, they do use pigs in France to locate truffles out in the woods.
Really?
Yep. They use them, and they have to be very careful because as soon as they get them, they start to devour them, so they have to go, you know, but they do actually use them to sniff them out and to find large truffles that are buried in the woods. Yeah, you can read about that. So pigs have multiple uses, miniature, and, you know, not just bacon.
Well, you can see the pictures in the chat room at crusadechannel.com/chat. The organically, naturally occurring tomatillo bush. You can see it right there. That thing just, it just grew up because the pigs must have eaten some tomatillos.
Yep, they're either left over from what they may have thrown them, or they went through the digestive tracts. A lot of times the seeds make them through and they just replant. So it's all, it's the way it's supposed to be, miniature.
Yeah.
Although, I know you got a chance. This morning when you said, I don't know what we're going to talk about, I threw you a couple of quick articles, but yesterday I was getting some coffee at the office here, and there was a big cake out in the cafeteria, and I said, what's this big cake? You know, celebrating the latest innovation of pet food my company has put out. It's fake meat dog food.
Fake meat dog food.
Right. And there were some people standing there, and I made a bunch of derogatory comments, which I'm sure will further solidify my position here. I didn't say it would be a good position, but I said, we have large tractor trailers riding around and say, fresh, real food for pets. I can send you pictures. That's what it says on the side of the trailer. And what are we making? Fake meat dog food. And the gentleman I was having conversation said, well, you know, some people, they can't eat meat, or they won't eat meat, so they can't imagine giving it to their pets. I said, it's unnatural. It's cruel to the animals. And whether other people are nuts, that's not our problem. We should not be supporting that, other than, of course, to increase our bottom line. And he just looked at me and walked away. But so subsequent to that, I sent you an article, and I've read about a little bit of this before, but do you know that they're not legal yet, but they've been preparing kits where you can grow meat at home?
They've been preparing what?
Kits. They haven't been made legal yet, but they're kits where you can actually grow meat at home. And you want to use as the base material?
No.
Swabbing out of your cheek cells.
So,
in other words, you are fertilizing, or you are giving the basis for the meat that you're going to grow to eat.
Oh, that's sick.
That's Soylent Green coming to life.
So Soylent Green is the consumption of fellow human beings that have been chopped up and made into this this goo that they call Soylent Green. So now the fake food, fake meat, grow at home movement now wants you to cannibalize yourself?
Well, it's out there. And I mean, again, one of these things where I'm sure, you know, a number of years ago, we considered it, you know, science fiction. That's why they made movies out of it with Charlton Heston. You know, then as things go on here, we start getting more and more concerned. Supply chain issues, Minister. You talked about it a good part of the morning. Supply chain. We can't get things. This is, you know, now I'm going to be Alex Jones. Okay, you want to play the clip? I'm going to be Alex Jones here. They're prepping us for this. They're prepping us for this.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay. Do you understand that? Turn the freaking frogs gay.
This is their plan, people. These are demons. Just like the Bible says, it's basically an intergalactic invasion into this space through people. I'm telling you, it's what all the ancients said. It's what they warned of. It's what we're dealing with. They're demons. They're freaking interdimensional invaders, okay? I'll just say it. Make fun of me all you want on CNN or wherever, but everyone already innately knows this. These people are not freaking humans, okay? Hillary Clinton is a goddamn demon.
Well, there you go. So you can see in the if you want to see organic farming at its best, you can see the pictures in the chat room because people like them pictures, what it looked like at St. Benedict Center and what Sister Maria Filomena is doing. Now, what I find most amazing about this organic growing of pigs, now she's 2.5 years in, she'll be 3 years this coming February, and she says she's learned so much to the point now where locals are coming going like, how are you doing this? Because we want to try it. I just wanted to point out that Sister Filomena does all this in her habit. So people that say, it's too hard to do, I would try it, but it is so hard. Whatever, soy boy. She does it in her habit. Full crown, full veil, full habit. And she does it in the summer, too, in the habit. So I don't want to hear any of your soy crying into your coconut milk. It's absolutely amazing to see that.
Minister, to be fair, she told me she does it in her work habit.
She does have two habits. She has a dress.
The only difference between a work habit and a real habit.
That's her work habit.
Yes.
The only difference between her real habit and her work habit is one is faded by the sun. That's her work habit.
There you go.
I mean, I traded cheese with the... what's that? What's the sister who was doing the goats? I'm sorry. Her name is escaping me.
So that sister, that's Maria Rosario.
Okay, I traded cheese with her, and she had a bunch of herb cheese, which was all made with herbs out of her garden there. I don't know if you had a chance to walk around their raised beds and all down by the greenhouse, but it's given the fact that they really do not have a great piece of ground. Not really. And it's got its place, but what they can do with it is showing everybody that you don't need a lot to do something.
Well, here's an interesting thing that they took that we learned. They took the droppings from the rabbits and they put them in the back of a truck and they hauled it from where the rabbits are to where the raised beds are. And it is segregated. They just took the cleanings, stall cleaning, if you will, and they threw it into the raised beds. And the sister said, lo and behold, 3 months later, we had crop beds unlike anything any of us had ever seen or imagined. So that's just one example of how the homestead, how you take something from one part of the homestead and you move it to another part of the homestead so that it's useful. The whole system refreshes and replenishes itself. And this is what we have to learn if we're going to get serious about this and do the best that we can to try and feed ourselves as best as we can.
Well, that's part of the large imbalance, and we've talked about that many times. You know, you're growing large amounts of grains in Kansas and Iowa and Oklahoma and all these states there, and then you're taking it to states like Missouri and Virginia at the Coke poultry facility and North Carolina or wherever, and you're raising thousands and thousands and millions of animals. Well, you're transferring all that raw material and those elements from one part to the other, but it's not going back. It's beyond some of the other things we've talked about. You're really creating a horrible cycle because you're depleting one area of certain. And what do we do to make up for it? Well, we come up with artificial means to keep trying to replenish it. So it's a broken cycle.
So,
and there is no way to fix it unless you do it on a small scale. There is no way to fix that.
Now, again, when you get off the interstates and you get on the highways, one of the things you see, and Mitch Chur and I saw it on our trek down Highway 11 in Pennsylvania. We saw a sale barn, Mittermundi. I can't remember the name of it, but the proper name, what preceded it. But we saw a sale barn that sold heirloom livestock.
Oh, cool.
I can't remember the name, but something heirloom livestock. And I went, see? Mittermundi would be fawning over this. There's an actual place that's going like, no, we only trade in heirloom livestock here.
I wish you'd remember, because I, you know, that's close enough to me. If I want to go looking for, you know, genetic material, that's where you go. You know, I would go to get it off.
Well, you know, Joe and Katie are listening. They can go take a drive down Highway 11. They could see it. It's before. Was it in Maryland or was it before we got to Maryland? I'm trying to remember. Remember? I should have looked it up. And we were going like, we got to remember this so we could tell Mundy. But I don't remember.
That's not that far away. Well, when Joe and I get together and make those pork chops, you say it won't work. I did not say
they would not work. I said that they would not work the way that you two were scheming to make them. I don't think that they'll work. But I'm all for experimenting in the kitchen, bro.
Well, that's what we were talking. We were talking to say, let's experiment, man. Let's experiment. So we'll try it.
So one of the other things that Sister Maria Filomena talked about in her talk here, and you're right in the middle of episode 17 of Free Farm Friday here with Mr. Dan Mundy of Mundy Farms. One of the things that Sister talked about, and I thought that this was a great way to approach this subject here, was about the love that you have for your animals and that you do care for them like they're your dogs or your pets. You love your steers. You love your sows. You love your chickens, your ducks, whatever it is. But you understand that part of that, you know, part of that love is that they love you back, and God created them to nourish you. That's one way that they love you, and that the cycle continues, and that was a part of the process that she and the sisters had to learn. And they're still learning it, but it's to get over that. Well, we named that pig, so we don't want to, you know, we don't want to butcher it. But they learn that loving the animals and treating them, you know, like they are members of your family that are going to provide food for you, raises a better product, and it benefits the animal during its life, and then ultimately it benefits you. Comment on that.
That's absolutely true. I mean, even with the, you mentioned her before, and I've mentioned her, Temple Grandin, who's got a whole thing about how to handle livestock commercially. And part of her whole system is, you know, the better you treat the animal, even in the large livestock operations, the better they will be for you. I mean, it is a very interesting relationship, and it's something that has been going on since the beginning of time. You know, when I go home and I go to feed the animals, and especially the pigs, because they tend to be the most intelligent, they, you know, they come up to you. They know that you're going to feed them. They know that you take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, I mean, you know, they're not, they have an appreciation for it. And you can almost develop this affinity with them. I love to sit and watch them interact. I mean, you know, and then of course, you know, when they're out and I have to go chase them out of the neighbor's yard, that puts another whole different spin on it. When, you know, a cop comes at 2:00 in the morning and says, is that your cow on the road? You know, that changes that whole dynamic a little bit. But, you know, the proper pigeons in the proper pigeon holes. I know people who are 4-H people, they used to, you know, they would raise their sheep and they'd sell them. They had no problem selling them for meat, but they got to sell them and they had to buy other meat for themselves because they couldn't eat the ones they raised.
Right.
That's a little warped. I don't know that's a good way. I think it's a lesson that people have to learn and understand. They say that we were given dominion over the animals, and we were also given the responsibility. And you need to care for them. And you need to give them the respect because, you know, they are going to become your food. So.
Well, they are going to become your food. Yeah, and whether it's love, and when I say love, I suppose you could say respect instead of love. I don't mean the kind of love where you love a fellow human being, because we know that the soul of an animal is not eternal. So you're not going to have the same kind of love and ethical love for an animal because it does not have an eternal soul. It doesn't mean you can't become attached to it and you're not going to miss it when it dies, but it doesn't have that kind of an eternal soul. Now, there is a theological school of thought about that. I'm not going to get into it, but there's somebody, did you have soul? You don't know. No, dude, I'm not going to get into it here, okay? Our mentor, Brother Francis, said, the animals all have souls, not as you think of soul, not like the Buddhist or the Hindus think of the cow and the soul. Not that kind of soul. But they do have souls. And God created the soul. It animates that little body. So whether it's respect or love, but you can have a love for the fact that you love the creation. You can look at for example, I can go at the top of the Blue Ridge Mountain chain, which I did, on the Blue Ridge Parkway, and look at what God has created below to get a vista of it. And I can say, I love this scene, okay? It doesn't mean I'm going to try to marry it. It doesn't mean that I'm going to have a physical, emotional relationship with it. It means that I'm acknowledging it's a love for God. It's a proxy love for God and his creation. So that's what I meant when I said love. You can love your land the same way. I'm sure you do. And if you love your land because God created it for you and you have that healthy respect/love, then you're going to treat it differently. And if you treat it as you should, it's going to treat you as God wanted it to treat you. And it will provide for you.
Well, and think about it. That's probably what most of Western civilization has lost.
Sure.
Adds to the understanding of why we're in the state that we're in.
Yeah, with the supply chain issues and all that, which, by the way, are principally being manufactured by propaganda that's being delivered via mainstream media and social media to go out and hoard everything you need right now. And if you don't, in 6 months, you're not going to have any. That's what happened with the great toilet paper hoard of 2020. You remember that? That you see people at checkout lines going, and you go like, why do you have two buggies filled with 24-pack, bath tissue super packs? So some of this supply chain interruption is being made possible because idiots are listening to propagandists that are saying things are going to run out. And again, because we've been trained to not shop and buy and manufacture locally and regionally stuff that has to be trucked in, they may actually have a small point, but almost a will to power. You're bringing about the supply chain issue by treating it as if it's a thing today.
Well, and they're also telling us how miserable our Christmas is going to be because you won't be able to go out and get everything you want.
Or if you do Christmas as you're supposed to, which means that Advent begins in late November and it goes all the way until the vigil of Christmas Eve, and then during the 12 days of Christmas, you go do your Christmas shopping. You're going to have all the stuff that they couldn't sell and are trying to give away at the lowest prices. So no supply chain issues need to bear. Middle Monday, we will pick this up again next week as we get into the third week of fall here. One thing I did notice on our way heading south from Pennsylvania to here back in Mandeville, Louisiana, is we did pass some massive pumpkin patches. I had never seen, this was on a road that was, this wasn't on the interstate. This was on a byway that we took. I'd never seen an actual pumpkin patch. It is quite, you know what I thought of when I saw it? I went, the great pumpkin, Charlie Brown. And then on Halloween, the great pumpkin arises, Charlie Brown. That's what I thought of, the great pumpkin.
Well, you know where all those pumpkins are going. Walmart, Home Depot.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, all those, I mean, I'm sure if they're on that kind of scale, I'm doubting very much that they're going to be a local person that's going to have, you know, pumpkin picking days where you can bring the family and have some apple cider or maybe listen to some music or do the agritourism thing, but that can be a very nice family event.
Now,
these are guys that are just growing massive quantities so that, you know, when you walk into...
Now, look, I can tell you this. On Patrick Henry Highway, leaving... what's the name of that little town? It's outside of Charlottesville. Leaving the Blue Mountain Brewery and taking Patrick Henry Highway to the Blue Ridge Parkway, I can tell you, we passed two family-run orchard operations. One was open, the other was closed, and the one that was open said something to the effect of come and sample our homegrown ciders and apples. So that's right there in the heart in the Blue Ridge Mountains right there in Virginia. Yes, they have apple orchards, and yes, they are ciderers.
And I'm sure they're hurting from last year because they probably wouldn't let anybody in.
Well, we heard that this year was very dry in the Shenandoah Valley.
Yeah, so that's double whammy. Last year they weren't allowed to sell anything if they had it. This year they're not going to get as much. So you got to feel for them. They're probably in very tight space right now. I hope not, but I bet you.
Well, until we'll pick this up again next week, as I say, we'll have a week to actually prepare. Brian will hopefully be with us. And we'll talk about that late fall harvesting and greenhousing and all that stuff. And, of course, as Ms. Mittermundi says, it doesn't matter how much you grow. It's how much you can preserve.
That's right. Everybody's got to be putting stuff up now.
That's right.
You know what you should add, miniature? Start ordering your seeds for next spring now. Put your order in.
Right. Well, yeah, no, and for things that I want to grow, like I could put my my garlics in the ground. Actually, I think I could put them in now, or maybe sometime next month, and they will be ready sometime next spring. You know, there's all sorts of things that you can start planting. If you live in the Deep South, especially, there's all sorts of things that we can do. I'm already doing them, you know, because Brian and I talk. Including getting lettuces ready. Hopefully that will grow, and you know, when the frost does come, that we'll try and cover and put lamps on. So there's all sorts of things that we can all still do as late fall and autumn comes, and then we approach winter. So yeah, we'll continue to prep, and we'll talk about this next week.
Yes, sir. And hey, add a greenhouse to Walsingham West there, so you put that on the side of the building.
I will add a greenhouse to Walsingham West, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay,
God.
Thank you.
All right, Dan, thank you. God bless your brother. We'll talk soon. Brother!